No matter how difficult of acceptance our own notions may be, they are opposed by this barbarism, or puerility, or pill that can't be digested. 7 days from the opposition of Mars, in 1896, a great meteor exploded over a region where there had been a succession of earthquakes by coincidence. 7 days from the next similar opposition of Mars, a great meteor exploded over a region where there was going to be a succession of earthquakes by coincidence. The advantage Ryans of the Moon, that is the cult of lunar communicationists, who try to take advantage of such celestial events as oppositions and eclipses, thinking that astronomers, or night watchmen, or policemen of this Earth might at such times look up at the sky. A great luminous object, or a meteor, that was seen at the time of the eclipse of June 28, 1908, as if to make the date of the eclipse more memorable, says W. F. Denning, Observatory, 31-288. Not long before the opposition of Mars, in 1909, the bright spot west of Picard was seen twice, March 26 and May 23, Jour BAA, 19-376. November 16, 1910, an eclipse of the Moon, and a meteor that appeared, almost at the moment of totality, ENG MEC, 92-430. It is reported, in Nature, 85-118, as seen by Madame de Rabeck, at Naas, Ireland, from an apparent radiant, just below the eclipsed moon. The thing may have come from the moon. Seemingly with the same origin, it was seen far away in France. In La Nature, November 26, 1910, it is said that, at Besançon, France, during the eclipse, was seen a meteor like a superb rocket, qui serait parti de la Lune. There may have been something occurring upon the Moon at the time. In the Jour BAA, 21-100, it is said that Mrs. Albright had seen a luminous point upon the Moon throughout the eclipse. Our expression is that there is an association between reported objects, like extramundane visitors, and nearest approaches by the planet Venus to this Earth. Perhaps unfortunately this is our expression, because it makes for more restriction than we intend. The objects, or the voyagers, have often been seen during the few hours of the visibility of Venus, when the planet is nearest. Then such an object is Venus, say the astronomers. If anybody wonders why, if these seeming navigators can come close to this Earth as they do approach, if they appear only in a local sky they do not then come all the way to this Earth, let him ask a sea captain why said captain never purposely descends to the bottom of the ocean, though traveling often not far away. However, I conceive of a great variety of extramundanians, and I am now collecting data for a future expression that some kinds of beings from outer space can adapt to our conditions, which may be like the bottom of a sea, and have been seen, but have been supposed to be psychic phenomena. Upon October 31, 1908, the planet Venus was 4 months past inferior conjunction, and so had moved far from nearest approach, but there are vague stories of strange objects that had been seen in the skies of this Earth localized in New England back to the time of nearest approach. In the New York Sunday, November 1, 1908, is published a dispatch, from Boston, dated October 31. It is said that, near Bridgewater, at 4 o'clock in the morning of October 31, two men had seen a spectacle in the sky. The men were not astronomers. They were undertakers. There may be a disposition to think that these observers were not in their own field of greatest expertness, and to think that we are not very exacting as to the sources of our data. But we have to depend upon undertakers. For instance, early in our investigations, we learned that the prestige of astronomers has been built upon their high moral character, all of them most excellently going to bed soon after sunset, so as to get up early and write all day upon astronomical subjects. But the exemplary in one respect may not lead to much advancement in some other respect. Our undertakers saw, in the sky, something like a searchlight. It played down upon this Earth, as if directed by an investigator, and then it flashed upward. All of the balloons in which ascensions are made, in this state, were accounted for today, and a search through southeastern Massachusetts failed to reveal any further trace of the supposed airship. It is said that mysterious bright lights, believed to have come from a balloon, had been reported from many places in New England. The week before, persons at Ware had said that they had seen an illuminated balloon passing over the town, early in the morning. During the summer, such reports had come from Bristol, Conn, and later from Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and from White River Junction, VT. In all these cases, however, no balloon could be found, all the known airships being accounted for. In the New York Sunday, December 13, 1909, it is said that, during the autumn of 1908, reports had come from different places in Connecticut, upon a mysterious light that moved rapidly in the sky. Venus moved on, traveling around the sun, which was revolving around this earth, or traveling any way to suit anybody. In December, 1909, the planet was again approaching this earth. So close was Venus to this earth that, upon the 15th of December, 1909, crowds stood, at noon, in the streets of Rome, watching it, or her, New York Sunday, December 16. At 3 o'clock, afternoon of December 24, crowds stood in the streets of New York, watching Venus, New York Tribune, December 25. One supposes that upon these occasions Venus may have been within several thousand miles of this earth. At any rate, I have never heard of one fairly good reason for supposing otherwise. If again something appeared in local skies of this earth, or in the skies of New England, and sometimes during the few hours of the visibility of Venus, the object was or was not Venus, all according to the details of various descriptions, and the credibility of the details. The searchlight, for instance, more than one light, directions and motions. Venus, at the time, was for several hours after sunset, slowly descending in the southwest, primary maximum brilliance January 8, 1910, inferior conjunction February 12. There is an amusing befuddlement to clear away first. Upon the night of September 8, 1909, a luminous object had been seen sailing over New England, and sounds from it, like sounds from a motor, had been heard. Then Mr. Wallace Tillinghast, of Worcester, Massachusetts, announced that this light had been a lamp in his secret aeroplane, and that upon this night he had traveled, in said secret aeroplane, from Boston to New York, and back to Boston. At this time the longest recorded flight, in an aeroplane, was Farman's, of 111 miles, from Reims, August, 1909, and, in the United States, according to records, it was not until May 29, 1910, that Curtis flew from Albany to New York City, making one stop in the 150 miles, however. So this unrecorded flight made some stir in the newspapers. Mr. Tillinghast meant his story humorously, of course. I mention it because, if anybody should look the matter up, he will find the yarn involved in the newspaper accounts. If nothing else had been seen, Mr. Tillinghast might still tell his story, and explain why he never did anything with his astonishing secret aeroplane, but something else was seen, and upon one of the nights in which it appeared, Tillinghast was known to be in his home. According to the New York Tribune, December 21, 1909, Immigration Inspector Ho, of Boston, had reported having seen, at 1 o'clock in the morning of December 20, a bright light passing over the harbor and had concluded that he had seen an airship of some kind. New York Tribune, December 23, that a mysterious airship had appeared over the town of Worcester, Massachusetts, sweeping the heavens with a searchlight of tremendous power. It had come from the southeast, and traveled northwest, then hovering over the city, disappearing in the direction of Marlborough. 2 hours later, it returned. Thousands thronged the streets, watching the mysterious visitor. Again it hovered, then moving away, heading first to the south and then to the east. The next night, something was seen, at 6 o'clock, at Boston. The searchlights shot across the skyline. As it flew away to the north, queries began to pour into the newspaper offices and the police stations, regarding the remarkable visitation. It is said that an hour and a half later, an object that was supposed to be an airship with a powerful searchlight, appeared in the sky, at Willimantic, Con, hovering over the town about 15 minutes. In the New York Sunday, December 24, are more details. It is said that, at Willimantic, had been seen a large searchlight, approaching from the east, and that then dark outlines of something behind the searchlight had been seen. Also, in the Sun, it is said that whatever it may have been that was seen at Boston, it was a dark object, with several red lights and a searchlight, approaching Boston from the west, hovering for 10 minutes, and then moving away westward. From Lynn, Massachusetts, it was described as a long black object, moving in the direction of Salem, and then returning, at a high speed. It is said that the object had been seen at Marlborough, Massachusetts, 9 times since December 14. New York Tribune, January 1, 1910. Dispatch from Huntington, West Virginia, December 31, 1909. 3 huge lights of almost uniform dimensions appeared in the early morning sky, in this neighborhood, today. Joseph Green, a farmer, declared that they were meteors, which fell on his farm. An extensive search of his land by others who saw the lights was fruitless, and many persons believe that an airship had sped over the country. In the Tribune, January 13, 1910, it is said that, at 9 o'clock, morning of January 12, an airship had been seen at Chattanooga, 10. Thousands saw the craft, and heard the chug of its engine. Later the object was reported from Huntsville, Alabama. New York Tribune, January 15. Dispatch from Chattanooga, January 14. For the third successive day, a mysterious white aircraft passed over Chattanooga, about noon today. It came from the north, and was traveling southeast, disappearing over Missionary Ridge. On Wednesday, it came south, and on Thursday, it returned north.